To the book of Proverbs. Appreciated the singing of the kids tonight. Enjoyed those scripture songs. That's a blessing. As Ron said, it's good to hear them get God's word hidden in their heart, and that's a blessing. So Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. If you don't have a Bible along and you want to grab one of those pew Bibles, there should be one there available for you. Front pew before you or behind you, something like that. Grab that. Proverbs 4. This is a little bit of instruction. So I knew we were going to have a pile of kids here in the evening service tonight. So some instructions for them related to Father's Day, in fact. And Proverbs is a book, as we saw this morning, as we looked in chapter 2 this morning, a lot of instructions in the first portion of the book that's very logical, set out on purpose to give us some of the background basis for living God's Word and applying it to our life. And a lot of that instruction is directly tied to listening to Dad. Again, as we saw this morning, Dads, though I'm not going to speak to you directly tonight in that sense, make sure that you keep teaching your children the truth. And make sure you're actively, not passively, involved in that. That's a biblical responsibility of every father, to give them the truth of God's word and help that next generation to learn it. And obviously that's what we as a church family, come along and aid and help with our children's ministries. A part of the role and responsibility of the church is to help in that process of giving the next generation truth. But we are an aid to that. There is nothing that takes the place of a godly father who's teaching his children the truth of God's word. As I mentioned this morning, fathers, you can fail at a lot of things, but don't fail at teaching God's word. And I don't want you to be a failure. Please understand what I'm saying. But don't fail at teaching God's word to your children. That's critical. God will honor you for that. That is one of the most important things you'll ever do in life, is to help the next generation know truth. And the joy is, as we get into grandpa age, all right, and I'm looking forward to doubling my grandchildren by the end of the year, all right? We've got two on the way. I've already got two, all right? So the joy and blessing of handing to that third generation and fourth generation the same truths. I so appreciate those of you that are grandparents that are actively engaged in affecting your grandchildren, great-grandchildren for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true. That's exactly what God wants. They sang the song tonight concerning the Ten Commandments. I've got to learn that one. That's pretty good. I don't know that one about the Ten Commandments. So anyways, but if you would go to Exodus chapter 20, in Exodus, don't turn there, but I'll just give you the story real quick, and then you can look it up later. As God begins the Decalogue, all right, the Ten Commandments, he makes a wonderful promise and yet a real challenge. He talks about the righteous blessing their generations for thousands of generations, that fruit of righteousness bearing fruit into the next generations for thousands of generations, whereas the sin of the fathers and mothers pass on to the third and fourth generation. We know that our life affects the next generation, for good or bad. And God has promised, if we're willing to be careful, to give them truth, to live out truth before our children, guess what happens? They grab it. They imbibe it. Keep doing it. Keep faithful. And God will bless that and see fruit. I see, even though as I look back and know a little bit of the family history of my own personal family, they weren't always, they didn't have hold the same doctrines that we do as Baptists. But they taught God's truth in their home. And I could see how God took and instrumentally directed, even like my Grandpa Anderson, teaching Dad some things, and then Dad being willing to hear truth. And Dad coming to understand that the church he was in was not teaching all of God's word, and being drawn to what was truth. And that affected me. Dad became a Baptist when I was a young kid. I remember those days, those things happening and affecting my life. Well, I didn't understand the significance of it then. All right, we're going to church just like we've normally gone to church. It's just a different church. Fine. All right, who's the kids I can play with here? You know, that was on my mind as a little kid. And yet, it was through those years, as we're being instructed all the whole counsel of the Word of God, that begins to directly affect my life. And as Dad in the home is doing the same. So that's what's bearing fruit. What my children, my older children, are doing is really the fruit and result of what Dad did. I can't take all the blame for that. Can I put it that way? Nor should I. That's God's work ultimately. We understand God working in the heart and life of that child. But truth being passed down from generation to generation. And that's really where Solomon is here in Proverbs 4. He's pointing this connection. And that connection needs to be truth. Look in verse 1. Hear, my children. the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. For, and this is like kids that are here tonight, this is like dad talking to you. For I give you good doctrine, good teaching. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain, keep, hang on to, keep my words, keep my commandments and live. Now, we know who Solomon's father was, right? We don't have in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament setting, we don't have a lot of windows into the normal common day life of the believers of the Old Testament. We do have some. We often think of David as the shepherd boy, of course, kind of almost disdained by his family. He was the youngest. He's the one out feeding the sheep. They didn't even bring him in to see who would become the next king. His father brought in all of his other brothers and not David. David was left out with the sheep. And finally Samuel said, don't you have any other sheep here? Or any other sheep? Any other sons here? Yes, that's good. Any other sons here? And yeah, okay, my youngest is out there. Yeah, he wasn't even valued in his home. And yet God saw to it that he was valuable. So we think of him as a shepherd boy. And then obviously the great battles with Goliath, with the Philistines, the conflict with Saul, and then finally becoming king. And we often think of him in that role as the greatest king of the nation of Israel. He was a godly king, the line through which the Messiah comes, Jesus Christ, our Savior. But we don't often consider, and we know that he had some problems in his home with a number of wives. That's going to happen. That was not God's design, but that's what happened. And so you have this disjointed, dysfunctional home. And yet we discover these little snippets here in Proverbs where Solomon talks about, it seems as though David, at least in his later years, got it. Oh, wait a second. If I'm going to have a godly son who will sit on the throne of Israel and be a good, godly king, I better instruct him. And so he didn't relegate the training and teaching of Solomon strictly to teachers. David was directly involved in the training of Solomon, who then, as we see here, is passing it on to his children. As we know, historically, Rehoboam became the next king of Israel after Solomon. And he was unwilling to heed some of the good counsel. Of course, Solomon in his later years walked away from the Lord, not stayed close to the Lord. And that bore fruit in the life of even Rehoboam. He was not faithful to God as he should be. It led to the dividing of the nation, all those things. But here we have this beautiful, pure picture in verse 1 through 3, verse 4. As I was instructed by my father, Solomon says, he says, children, listen to me. I want to give you God's truth and God's word. Now, I'm not going to take the time. I would encourage you to read through the rest of chapter 4. We're going to jump really to the end. But he gives a wonderful personification. Kids, what is a personification? You say, what in the world? Pastor, quit using those big words. All right, oh, some of them know, all right. That's taking something that's inanimate, all right, something that's not living, and giving it like the characteristics of a human, all right, personifying him. So they talks about wisdom being a godly, good friend to you. And all that wisdom does. So verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth, forsake, and notice it's described as a lady, forsake her not. She shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Kids, if you don't forget any, or if you don't remember anything from tonight, this is what Solomon is saying. Verse 7, wisdom is it's the most important thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, all the things that you strive at, get understanding. Take God's word, kids, and live it out in your life. It will put you in good stead. And that's why I want to run and hasten then to the end of the chapter. So would you join me then down in verse number 18? He had just described the path of the evil ones, of evil men, and that they end in destruction, as we saw already this morning in chapter 2. But here we come to verse 18. He says, but the path of the just, who are the just? The just are those who live by the word of God. Follow the wisdom that was just described here. Now, let me real quick interrupt here for a second, right? For just a second. As we understand the full beautiful picture of the scriptures and what God is talking about when we're talking about being just, it's not simply talking about being good. Kids, you can be good and still not go to heaven. I can only go to heaven and I can only become just, all right, being righteous and someone that's God's child, if I accept his son's work on the cross of Calvary for me. Jesus loved the world. You know that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish. Right, good. Perish, but have everlasting life. Earlier in the book of John, Jesus had offered for us to become his children. In fact, why don't you turn there? If you have your Bible, real quick, look at that. John chapter 1. I want you to see it. Because this connects this fatherly image from Proverbs 4 to our relationship with God here. John chapter 1, the fourth gospel in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, all right, what does that mean to receive? To take Christ as your Savior, to understand and know that he's God, and yet he was man. 100% God, 100% man. That's amazing. But because of that, he could be our Savior. So his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary covers all of our sin. He didn't need to die for himself. He was perfect. He was God. But he died for you and I because he loved us. That's God so loved the world, all right, that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. So whosoever receives him, what does it go on to say? To him gave he power to become what? Tell me now. What is it? What do you have power to become? When you receive Christ as your Savior, what do you become? The sons of God. Very good. The sons of God. So everyone here tonight that has received Jesus Christ by faith, turned from your sin, turned to Christ alone for eternal life, you're called by God his son. You're not the only begotten son like Jesus Christ. He was the special, unique one, the one that was perfect, that could pay the price for our sin. But we join his family the moment we accept Christ as our Savior. So he's given us the power, the authority, the ability to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, in that relationship, as I'm a son of God, another biblical description of that is that we are just. We are righteous. The New Testament term is this. You've heard this before. We're a saint. The church doesn't have to come through and say, okay, I just picked you to be a saint. No! The moment I come to Jesus Christ, I'm a just one. I'm a saint. I've been set apart to God alone. I'm his son. Isn't that cool? So all of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, it doesn't matter how bad we are, it doesn't matter what we've done or haven't done. What matters is if we put our trust in Jesus Christ, I become a saint. So you're looking at a living saint. Isn't that amazing? All right? I don't have to die to be sainted. No, I'm a saint right now. Not because of who I am, but because of who Jesus Christ is, and I've accepted him as my Savior. That's the description of the just one. Now, all right, so we get all the way, you understand all that. Now we come back to children, Proverbs chapter 4. As a child of God, I need to listen. He's given instructions. I need to listen to the wisdom of my Father who gives me God's word. So verse 18 of Proverbs 4, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now you say, what is Solomon talking about there? Well, here we go again. I'll give you a little bit of what I call, we have fun at our church, so those of you that are visiting, I'll call you the Anderson translation of the verse a little bit. Like sunrise to the noon sun. Now, I know that we live in a day to day. Kids, how many of you kids have ever seen the sun come up in the morning? Okay, good. Some of you have. That's great, all right? Let me tell you, there's something unique about you can put your hands down. There's something unique and beautiful about the sunrise. It's different than a sunset. Don't ask me to describe it scientifically. I don't know, but I'm telling you, it's different. I had the privilege when all the years of farming, so you'd be out to the barn, you know, before the sunrise or be getting the cows in the morning as the sun's coming up over the horizon, and it is absolutely gorgeous. And then I enjoy hunting, so when I'm out there in the woods looking for the Bambi, all right, well, Bambi's mom or dad, all right, there we go. I'm sorry, does that, anyways, all right. And I'm wanting to hunt and get some meat for my table, all right, and I'm sitting in the woods, you're supposed to be real quiet so you don't scare any animals. And sometimes the last few years I've been hunting in a blind, which is great because I can even, this past year I had a heater in the blind. This is wonderful. It's like you're sitting in luxury out in the woods, all right. The window open, and it's dark when you get into the blind, and then you see the sun come up. And the light is different than sunset, but it's also far different than the noonday. And what Solomon is describing here in verse 18, he says, as we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're just, and we begin our walk with Him. Our walk is much like how the sun traverses the sky and changes in brightness as we walk. So the morning light is dimmer, different. There's glory to it, isn't it? Those of you that know Christ as your Savior, do you remember when you got saved? The joy and delight of walking and knowing that the Lord... I'll never forget the night I accepted Christ as my Savior. I go to bed that night, and I'm trying to be real serious about it. Here, I'm just a young boy, and I'm thinking, all right, I'm not going to get overly excited, but this is pretty cool. I'm on my way to heaven. Jesus is my Savior. The delight and joy and the excitement to tell your friends about it. We've rejoiced to hear Drew talking about his salvation and wanting others to know about it. He's already been preaching to Dory. All right, that's good. All right, that kind of delight, that should be that way. That's the way it's supposed to be, all right? And the joys of those of you that maybe got saved later in life, come to Christ, and some of the dramatic change from darkness, from your life of sin, to the glories and the light of truth and living it out in your life, that's amazing. But that shouldn't stop there. Just like I'm so glad that the sun doesn't stop on the eastern horizon every day. It would turn into a kind of a dull day. It wouldn't be glorious and warm like it would at noon, all right? And you know me, I like to be hot, okay? As far as that heat, I don't like to be cold. And so the same way in the Christian life, we grow and the glory of the Lord continues to expand in us, and we do that. Here we go, kids. Do I have you back attention again? We do that by following the wisdom of the Lord. So he goes on, but the path of the just, says the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day, alluding to, in fact, we continue to grow until we reach heaven. Until the Lord takes me from this world, whether it's through the rapture or through me passing away, I should be growing in the Lord. My life should be becoming more glorious. So, can I put it this way real quick? Older saints, you should be shining the brightest right now. You should be enjoying the glories of the Son, Jesus Christ, to a higher degree than you've ever enjoyed the rest of your life. That's the way it's supposed to be, all right? Now, the way of the wicked, verse 19, is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Amazing. The opposite of walking in the light is the life of the wicked, whose path is really the height of darkness. They don't have a clue of what life's all about. And really, the description of this world is wrapped up in that world of, that's the word of darkness. They're lost. They don't know their way. They think they know truth, and they don't. They need to come to Scripture, and they need to come to truth. But he says this, all right? So kids, again, listening in verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Now, Solomon's going to have a little bit of fun here, and we're going to have some fun tonight. So the first point for you children to remember tonight is... touch your ear. Can you all grab your ear? All right. Some of yours aren't as big as mine, all right? So I'm supposed to listen closely to the truth. Attend, all right? That's verse 20. Attend to God's word. Solomon was giving Rehoboam and his children God's word. Listen to it. Pay attention to it. Give it all your attention. Don't play your video game and try to listen to God's word. There are times, Dory at our house right now is our little distracted one, right? I know her hair's red, but I think it sometimes she'll be blonde, all right? If you're blonde here tonight, I just like to have fun with blondes, all right? Never mind, right? So, all right, she's just kind of flighty and so forth. It's like, Dory, all right, look at Daddy. Look at Daddy. And her mind's wanting to think about whatever her little brain is on, all right? Pay attention, all right? Now, the same thing we do to God's truth. Turn our ears on, listen to God's truth. Take it in. What you're doing right now, if you're sitting up paying attention, that's what God wants. When you get home tonight and your dad or mom gives you some instructions, listen, pay attention to it so that you can do it. And so he goes on, verse 21, he says, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. So, first of all, we're to listen to God's truth. But then the eyes, all right? What do we do with our eyes? Can you touch your eyeballs? Well, don't touch your eyeballs. That sometimes hurts. But touch right beside your eyes. Point to your eyes. Remember we sang the song this week in VBS? All right, Away Far Over Jordan. If you get there before I do, look out for me. All right, anyways, for me, oops, I pointed the wrong way. I messed you up. All right, when you're pointing at your eyes, so what are we supposed to do with our eyes? You focus. Focus. He says not to depart. Look at verse 21. Don't depart from the truth. Don't forsake it. Don't abandon it through carelessness or indifference. Give good attention. Now, what you've done in Truth Trackers, kids, is a part of working God's truth with your eyes, focusing on it and learning it. So what Mr. Ron was talking about tonight, how you memorize God's word, and then every day you take your devotional book home, and you get through that devotional every day, that's taking time to focus on it. So, you kids go to school, right? Yeah. School. I never liked school either. I always liked recess and I liked summer, all right? Or winter break. That was always the best times of life, all right? But I am so glad now that I went to school and learned some things, all right? But do you remember, at least as I get a little older, right after lunch, I don't know why they don't even in high school give you recess. They should. Here's a suggestion for Char. Make sure they have recess after lunch for even the high schoolers. All right, anyways. So, all right, why? Because I would sit in class after recess, even in college, if you had that, like, after lunch class, it's like, ugh. To try to stay awake and focus, it's like it's kind of going in and out one ear and out the other. I remember in seminary, you were so tired because you're working a job second shift, going to class in the morning. They would allow us to literally stand up in the back of class. How many of you have ever taken notes and the pen starts going like this off the page, you know? Okay. All right, that's not focusing. Kids, rather, when you hear God's truth, say, all right, what am I to do about it? And how am I to do this well and right? Pay attention and focus on it. That truth that God's word gives us is the most important thing in your life. Focus on it, all right? And then he goes on the end of verse 21. So let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. We talk about hiding God's truth in our heart. What do we mean by hiding God's truth in our heart? Well, it means to treasure it, to love it. But we often connect it to memorizing it, don't we? Memorizing it. Why do we memorize it? Because then it becomes, and here's the key word, when I have it in my heart, and can you kids, here's another action. So we talk about our ears, pay attention, our eyes, focus, all right, you can see it clearly. But then our heart, and I do this, I own it, it's mine. It's like giving yourself a hug, all right, it's mine. I want God's truth to be mine. And that's what Solomon says. He said, listen, you can hear what I say, you can pay attention and even focus on it and study it a little bit and understand it really thoroughly. But until it's yours, until it's in your heart and you live it out in your life, it's not really your truth. And it's not truth that's affecting your life. So I need to own the truth. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Cherish it. There are several people in my life. In fact, there's a number of people that I love. I love God's people here. It's a joy to be here. Kids, I love you guys. I try to get to know some of you better and better all the time. But there are people that are special in my life. And so there's levels of friendship and levels of love, if I can put it that way. Who's probably the dearest human person that I love? Can you tell me, kids? Yeah, Miss Abby, that's right, or my wife. I better had, all right? I'm supposed to. That's the biblical command. But guess what? That's also my heart's desire. I keep her in my heart. My wife and I were discussing my message this morning. She was critiquing, okay? In a good sense, all right? In a good sense. We were talking about how we spend time with God's word each day and spend time, we're talking about men, remember, studying it, living and learning it, knowing it so that you can communicate it. And we were talking through the process of how that's accomplished. And I told her, you know, there are times in our life, depending on the schedule of days, you can't just park and spend 2 hours in God's word on every day. There's really, in a right sense, there's not time for that. You have children to care for, a job to go to, all those kinds of things. There's life that God has asked of us to do. By the way, I'll put a plug in here. Senior saints, if you have time, take the time. Don't waste your senior years away. You say, I can't do much for the Lord. Oh, wait a second. If we learn from this morning, you can still know God, right? And know him better, because guess what? You're going to see him one day. And you don't want to be surprised. You want to know him well so you can serve him better when God gives you that glorified body and you can serve him in the millennial kingdom, serve him in eternity. That's a great thing. So get to know God. That's not a waste of time. So spend hours. You have the time, do it. But a mom that's got kids, taking care of all the responsibilities of the home, a dad that's working a job to bring an income, you may not be able to pull aside 2 hours a day. But does that mean that I don't love God's word? Absolutely not. Just like I don't spend all my day with my wife. Would I like to? Of course. She's a pretty nice gal, all right? It'd be fun to communicate every moment of the day, but that life doesn't happen that way. But I still cherish her. I love her. I own her in that sense because she's always on my heart and mind. And I'm continually doing things in my life that accounts for her. So when I'm about ready to leave the office here, on my way home or heading out to do this call or whatever, communicating with her. I could ignore her. I could just say, she take care of the house and I'll take care of my stuff. But that's not loving her, is it? God calls us to love truth. And every day I should be interacting with it and saying, how does God want me to live today? That's living out truth. That's owning it as my own. I'm an Anderson because I inherited it from my father's name. But there's come a point in my life, and it's been long ago, and I keep growing at it, that I cherish being an Anderson. I'm not embarrassed by the fact that I have red hair and I have a crazy sense of humor. That's part of being an Anderson. If you knew Grandpa Anderson, that's who he was. Fun. Oh, I loved having him tease and have fun. Well, my dad, all right, my kid's grandpa. The grandpa's crazy. Yeah, he is. So is your dad, all right? And my older kids will say, Dad, you're crazy. Yeah, I know. Well, you got it too. I was just listening to some video this afternoon of the kids. I thought, my word, my son sounds just like me. And that was my oldest son. I see it in Daniel. I haven't seen it in David as much. Like, wow. I own it. It's who I am. How much more so, and even greater, kids, you need to own the truth of God's word. And now, let me real quick and we'll be done. But I want you to see why. Why should I own truth and live it out? Verse 22, for they are life, God's wisdom, God's truth, are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. You see, obeying truth, claiming it as your own and living it out, and so living in light of truth, doing obedience to God's word, brings fullness of life, and it brings healing from the ravages of sin. Anyone here tonight that has been saved and redeemed from a wretched life will tell you that God's truth, as it's imbibed in the heart and life, brings healing to those ravages of sin. One of my dear friends was a hippie when he was young and imbibed in all the hippie culture. This would have been back in the 60s and 70s. When he came to Christ, he understood and knew that because of some things that he had done mentally, he needed to sharpen his skills again. So my dear friend began to memorize scripture, to imbibe it in his life. If I would introduce him to you today, you couldn't believe, if I can put it that way, that he was one time a part of the hippie culture. Why? Because his life is so full of God's goodness. His mind is so sharp. He is one of the clearest thinkers I've ever run into in my life. That's because he claimed truth as his own and it changed him. It, in real sense, converted who he was. Oh, his heart was converted by Jesus Christ. He's on his way to heaven. And then he allowed the truth of God's word to change who he is. Children, own truth. Claim it as your own because it'll make your life full and rich. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the treasures or the issues of life. You see, above all, we need to guard our hearts to keep it in line with truth because that guarding will help you make wise and right choices. Out of your heart, you make decisions. You decide on what you want to listen to, where you want to go, how you want to live, how you treat people, and all those things have implications on how to have a good life or a bad life. If I can put it in children's terms, boys, guard your heart so that when a bully or somebody that you don't like wants to pick a fight with you, you learn how to handle that properly and walk away from the fight often. Help show love to somebody that's being mean to you. Girls, when your best friend all of a sudden says something that hurts you and wounds you, and you'd rather scratch her eyes out than be kind to her, You take the truth that God has given you and you learn to give them the love of Christ that has been given to you in salvation. Guard your heart. Life illustrations could go on for the rest of the night, but out of the heart comes the issues of life. You won't do things against your will, so your will better be conformed to the truth of God's word so it'll do right. Finally, as we come down and really verse 24 and 25 really re-talk about our eyes and our eyes and our ears, put away from you the froward mouth, the things that we've heard, and preserve and perverse lips far from thee. Let thine eyes look straight on, focus on the right things. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Now, verse 26, ponder. What does he mean by ponder? Well, it's the idea of taking the time to make your path level, actually. Fix it well. Ponder the path of thy feet. How can I have a good path? Aren't you glad, kids, that the roads out here are smooth? Well, for the most part. At least, okay, smooth. There's a section here on 251 between here and Beloit that's really not smooth. And it's a bumpy ride. When I lived in Michigan is known for having some of the heaviest trucks on the road. We can have up to, is it 8 axles on those trailers at times? 20-some-odd wheels on these trailers or more. I can't remember. I'd have to count it all up now. We're talking huge tonnage. Well, guess what that does to the road? Destroys them, all right? Well, you're going down the road in your nice car, and kaboom, all right? Then you hit this pothole. You think the car's going to get swallowed by the pothole. It doesn't do good for you, not in any way or for your car. What Solomon is saying here, he says, make your path level. And how do you do that? By imbibing God's truth. So ponder the path of your feet, and let all thy ways, verse 26, be established. Be careful to fix your path, your life path, on God's truth. That will provide a smooth way to heaven. Going your own way, kids, doing your own thing, is not the right thing. Going God's way is the right thing. And then verse 27, turn not to the right hand or to the left. Don't get off God's path. Remove thy foot from evil. You see, you get off the path, and where are you at? In evil. I remember I had a pastor professor for mine many years ago, and one of his messages spoke about there is a right way to walk life. And whether you're off that path to the right or to the left, and he was using those terms both in a political and a spiritual sense, you're off to the right or to the left, you're doing too much, you're doing beyond God's word or not of all of God's word, right or left, you're still off the path. And this description here is that when you're off the path, where are you at? In evil. Young person, and can I encourage all the adults here, may we all be found on God's path, living out his just ways, following the wisdom of God's word. So, kids, here we go again. I'm to listen to God's truth, to focus on God's truth, to own God's truth. Make it a part of your life, and guess what happens? Your path will be established. Your life will be full and good. Let's pray. Thank you for your word tonight, Father. Thank you for the simple wisdom of God's truth here, and I pray that you would help each of us to imbibe it. Lord, if there's one here that does not have you as their Savior, they're not your child yet, as we spoke about early in the message, may they tonight come to Jesus Christ and trust you alone for eternal life. Only by being your son can we begin down this right path of being just. The just walk this way. The saint, the righteous. And then, Lord, as your children, those we've come to Christ, and I know that a number of even these children have trusted you as their Savior. They're on their way to heaven already. The Spirit of God's living within them. Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to pay attention, to listen to God's truth, to focus on God's truth, to use our eyes to study and learn and let it be a part of who we are, to love it like our heart would love, to own it ourselves. Lord, help us to listen, to focus, and to own truth. And may it affect our life for good. May these children in particular tonight experience the fullness of life, the blessings of God, because they've been obedient to your wisdom. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking about. opportunity for you and I to respond to God's truth as you, just in the quietness of your own heart and mind, contemplate the truth of God's word tonight. Can I ask you a couple questions? Are you, if you know the Lord is your Savior, are you paying attention to God's truth? Are you focusing on it so that it becomes something that's important to you and you're wanting to understand it? Are you owning it? Is it something that affects how you live day by day? Maybe tonight, whether you're a child here or an adult, you'd say, Pastor, those simple terms that Solomon used of hearing and focusing and owning is something that I need to grow and I need to be better at in my life. Would you pray that God would help me to live out truth in every area of my life tonight? Anyone would maybe quietly raise their hand and say, Pastor, that's my need tonight. Would you pray for me? Any of the kids or any of the adults? No one's looking about. Yes, amen. Amen. Any other hands? Yes. Amen. Take the time each day to listen to it. Take the time each day to focus on it. Study it. Take the time each day to own it yourself. Maybe here you're here tonight and don't know Christ as your Savior. If you would receive Him tonight, turn from your sin, you could become His son, His daughter. Be a part of His family. Have eternal life as your heaven, as your hope. Not face eternal punishment. Maybe tonight you'd say, Pastor, I need to be saved. My prayer for you won't save you. Your simple prayer and trust in putting Jesus Christ as your Savior would be what would redeem your heart, and you'd become His child. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Is there one here tonight? Say, Pastor, that's my need tonight. I need to be saved. Could I pray for you right now? Anyone all quietly raise their hand and say, yes, amen, amen. Anybody else? Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Thank you so much for what you're doing among the children that you've allowed us to serve. I pray that you would help them to continue to love truth, to listen, to focus, to own it. May each of us as adults do the same. And Father, if there's one here tonight without Jesus Christ as their Savior, may tonight be the night of their salvation. May they, in simple faith, turn from their sin, repent, and turn to Christ. Trust, faith, trust Christ as their Savior, so that they can leave here tonight being your child, being a saint, not because of who they are, but because of what you've done for them, who you are. We rejoice in that. In your name we pray. Amen.